Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. Where else can you listen to Big Brother House Guests, Survivor Castaways, and the Amazing Racer Racers? That's right, here at the Rad Reality Show. So first-time listeners, you need to tune in every Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday.
I got a feeling that tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good, good night. I feel it.
Let's kick it off with our theme song for usually Thursday night, especially during Survivor's time of the year. And you know what it is. Welcome to the show, everyone. Tonight we're going to be talking about Survivor. If you guys have a question on Survivor, you guys can call in 347-237-5506. Let's have a great show, guys.
Welcome, Survivor fans. We're happy to have you here with us on the Rad Reality Show Network. Tonight we're featuring our Survivor Philippines Roundtable Show, hosted by Travis Sampson, also known as Bubba. He'll be joining us in just a little while, so I'll take this time to let you know that tonight is November 1st, 2012, which to me means we only have 5 more days of political commercials until Election Day, and I will be so happy to no longer see all the election commercials. I will also let you know, in case we have new people joining us for tonight's show, my name is Cherry Garcia. I'll be your co-host. We also have Mr. Paul from Minnesota. He is also known as our Clip Master. He does all of our wonderful audio clips that you'll hear on our shows. How are you doing tonight, Paul?
I am right along with you on that sentiment for the election and all the ads and stuff like that. I also want to mention, I had almost not seen this, but spring ahead, clock change coming up Sunday.
Yay.
So
we get a 49-hour weekend.
I also want to, anyway, go ahead. Or I had something else I was going to bring up, but.
What was it? Do tell.
All right. I had my annual, I had to renew my license plate tags. Now, I don't know how they do it in other states, but we have a month and year on our plates. So when your month comes up, you get a sticker to put on the new year.
Right.
And so I went to get mine today. And after you put on, I think, like 5 stickers here in Minnesota, I didn't even realize it, they just give you a new plate, because you can imagine you can't keep just adding stickers. There'd be, you know, a big, because you put the new sticker over the old one and the old new one over the other two old one and new one over the other.
You just get a pile of stickers, right.
So instead I got... They gave me new plates. Well, first of all, I got to remember a new license plate number. But the thing that I don't think I have ever, when I've gotten new plates, been able to take my old plates off easily. I mean, is that just a regular thing? I mean, I could not, you know, they were rusted in there, and I couldn't break it out. And, you know, some of them came out easily, and I even had to get a vice grip on one of the things. Oh, my God. Why can't it just be easy for once?
I know. It's always a pain in the butt. It seems like maybe some way, some year, somebody will come up with a better solution to licensing our cars. But for now, it's the good old-fashioned license plates that we deal with.
And the other thing is, my old license plate, and again, this differs from one state to the other, I'm sure, but was the, you know, really kind of metal with the raised numbers, you know, that obviously punch them in the back and the identification numbers rise above it.
Right.
Well, these new ones almost seemed like plastic to me until I turned it over and I tapped, and it was metal, but it was so thin and flimsy. And all the letters are just embossed on there instead of, you know, the raised numbers. They just
really
almost looks like they're painted on.
Jody,
you know?
In the chat room says that she just got new plates yesterday. So you've got
wow.
A soulmate in the chat room that just went through the same thing.
Yeah. Well,
I tell you,
also,
it is a just a drag to have to go through all that. And like I say, I hope that someday somebody comes up with a new invention. You know, you would think with all the new technology that we have today, you know, we can put a little chip in our dogs and they can just run a scanner over our dog and say, yep, that's your dog, you know?
Yeah.
And you would think they would have something to that effect that they could do with our cars and, you know, it would be much easier by now. But
yeah,
so far they haven't invented such a beast, so we're still going to the license agency and getting our license plates. And
I was watching because we had just seen the History Channel reality show American Restoration last night. My TV was, and then you brought up when you called me on the phone another show where they were showing this amazing guitar, but they break to commercial and they give you a choice. What's the most valuable, you know, rare license plate from 1921? And I thought, 1921, and they listed Hawaii, Alaska, and I've already forgotten what the other one was, but it was one of the contiguous 48. And I thought, well, it's got to be Hawaii or Alaska, because they weren't even states back in 1921. And it turned out the correct answer was Alaska. And they said in 1921, it's recorded there was only 4 plates, license plates, from that year in Alaska.
Wow. I guess they would be rare then.
Yeah. No, I remember when Alaska became a state and then followed by Hawaii. So I can't remember what year that was, but that just goes to show how old I am, I guess.
So when you get your tags for your license plates, do you take a little razor and put a few little slashes in it so people can't steal the tag?
I had never been told to do that, but that makes complete sense to me. I save them. Whenever I've replaced them, I've always saved them. I've got plates from other states that I've been in, you know.
Now I'm talking about the tag that you put on your plate. I've heard that you're supposed
you mean
to take
the sticker?
Yeah, the sticker. They say to put take a razor blade and put slashes in it so that people can't pull that sticker off in one piece. So they can't steal your sticker, because people have been known to steal those stickers off of your license plate and put it on theirs, and then you have to go through the hassle of going back to the license agency and saying, you know, someone stole my sticker, and going through all that whole hassle, and so they tell you to take a razor blade and put like a couple of slashes through it when you put it on, and that way it's, no one can peel it off in one piece.
That makes complete sense. I immediately thought, well, am I invalidating it by, you know, damaging my tag? But you know, I guess there is a plus in doing that, but if somebody actually did, after I put this, the razor blade cuts on it, if somebody actually did take it off, that means I'm going to have to go and buy a new one, or I might not even notice it, you know. Somebody might peel it off, and I don't pay attention and, you know, look at my tags all the time, but that I like that idea. I'll have to consider doing that.
Yeah, I've heard that suggestion. You know, it was a thing around St. Louis for a while. Thieves were taking the new stickers and, you know, putting them on their cars, and then, you know, so you'd get pulled over by the police and say, you know, you don't have an updated sticker, and they'd have registration saying, you know, they had bought it, but the sticker isn't on their car.
Yeah.
And so that was something that they came out on the news and said, you know, this is what we recommend you do, so
now,
that a thief can't pull the entire sticker off.
Right, I understand. How are your stickers in Missouri? Do you have month and year like we do, or?
Yes.
Okay.
So, how did you like last night's Survivor show?
Oh.
So while we're waiting for our host to call in.
One word. Confused.
Confused?
I am confused. I was more confused as to who's potentially lining here, who's possibly lining there, who's, you know, that, you know how confusing it can get when you're watching The Amazing Race and there's teams that are at, you know, a detour and another team at a roadblock and another team is just arriving, you know, and trying to keep track of all of that. I was more confused last night watching Survivor. I'm somebody that likes to know what kind of alliances are going on. I mean, that's something that I always make sure I get a good handle on when I'm watching the feeds on Big Brother, you know, to know who's going where, who's possibly switching, who, you know, all this type of thing. I just did not follow. It was too many people talking. And Jeff Kent seemed to be in the middle of everything. I mean, he really did have a lot of TV airtime.
There was a lot of confusion last night. And I will say one thing. I was very, very glad to see that, you know, I was going on assumptions last week. And you sort of had me a little fearful when you kind of doubted whether I was correct in assuming that we were going to the merge this week. And I was like, oh my goodness, what if I'm wrong now? And
no,
so
I bring this up, Jerry, and I wanted to say to you that what my recollection was I didn't think of that when I saw the ads for the following week, and I said, oh, you might be right, Jerry. I was just saying that what I saw did not trigger that in my head. And when you said it, I go, oh, well, you might have something there. So, and then I saw my TV description and then the commercials leading up to it this week. You know, they basically spoil it for everybody anyway. In my TV description, the tribes merge. You know, it's like I'd like those things to be a surprise to me. I guess I just have to get used to it. But you were so right. You were right 100%.
Another thing, and I mentioned it in my promo of tonight's show.
Okay.
In seasons past of Survivor, and I might even repeat this when our host joins us, they have been, you know, told that they were going to merge in different ways. Most of the time it was just saying, okay, you know, tribes, drop your buffs, you know, we're going to merge. At times I believe it's been brought to them by tree mail. You know, they've been told that the merge was happening in different ways. But
correct.
Most of the time it involved one, if not both of the tribes, going through miles of trek through brush and jungle, getting to their new home location.
You wrote this all in the promo?
Yes. And this time, you know, they each had a boat pull up and announced to them that they had 10 minutes to gather their things and get on the boat to take them to their new location. And they were going to be, you know, taken by boat. To me, it seems like Survivor is getting easier by the season, you know. And once they arrived, there was freshly cut bamboo.
You know,
in
I've heard them
different sizes
about bamboo,
for them to
cannot
build their new shelter, you know, along with all the, you know, wine and the big feast that they always have, you know, during the at the merge. But, you know, there was all this freshly cut bamboo all prepared for them for their new shelter. The earlier seasons of Survivor never saw such a thing. And I just wonder how, you know, past Survivor alumni feel about seeing seasons like this where it's all laid out for them and having a boat pull up to take them, having the bamboo all laid out for them. And, you know, years ago when Survivor first started, they had to do all that. They had to trek miles to get there. They had to cut the bamboo themselves. They had to make their own shelter out of whatever they found there. And now it's just there for them, you know. It's just done for them. And I'd like to hear about what others think about that.
All right, what I was... Normally, I'm the person that will notice little details. I so didn't notice. All I remember hearing was, I think it was Penner making a comment about that's a lot of bamboo. I remember hearing that, but I did not notice. So they were like the Amazing Race episode we watched last week. They had a whole bunch of pre-cut bamboo just laid out?
Yes, they did.
And then the other thing, as you said in seasons past, you remember where they would even get this little canoe or cutout type, you know, primitive boat that they'd have to jump in, and you'd see this aerial shot of them paddling, you know, to a new place.
Or walking for miles through jungle.
Yep. Absolutely.
And Dog in the chat room said, "This is not your father's Survivor anymore." I love it, Dog. Great one, Dog.
That's true. That's true. It, yeah, it was a pretty easy thing. I know it's hard not to talk, you know, about the episode while we're, you know, waiting for Bubba to pop on. You know, it's like, oh, I want to say this, I want to say that, but it's...
I know.
I was just more confused because there's, you know, so many people, 11 people, and then at one point in that little conversation where they wanted to, they figured that Penner had the idol and they wanted to flush it out, and they said, "And we'll just do a 4-4 tie." And I go, wait a minute, you know, I'm missing something. There's 11 people, 4 plus 4 is 8, what, you know. So actually by the end, I kind of figured, you know, okay, it was just eight people that they knew they had control of who they were going to vote for, I guess. But it was just very confusing. And try as I might to not – there you go. Thanks, Doug. Try as I might not to keep every episode looking for this alliance, it's messing with my head every single episode. You know?
I know.
And then the one thing I always remember is they even voted differently once, you know? And I go, oh, geez. Now every week I'm not only thinking that, I wonder, you know, I watch for votes, you know. I don't think that is probably happening this early. I don't know. But the theme, for me at least, from what I've noticed, and I'd have to go back just kind of by memory, it seems like there's been a lot of the really pretty women that have gotten voted out. It seems to be a common theme so far. I don't know.
I know you hated to see that bathing suit go.
I did. I did.
She seems to be a really nice girl, though. I would really like to get her on the show.
Yes, and I like the fact that there was a seemingly long-lasting alliance, you know, with Scoopin' and everything there. And anyway, I want to, so that we don't have to, you know, talk about Survivor, bring up how fun last night's show was for anybody listening that missed it. That was pretty fun, wasn't it?
Yes, we had a great time last night. We did something we've never done before. A very good friend of ours, Dan Kaminsky, was on an episode of
Cherry, but a lot of people may know him only as Big John by his chat name, so I always want to put that in there too. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to mention that. He was on an episode of American Restoration, and I was going to say they may know him as Big John in our chat room. He had purchased a pencil dispenser that he had seen that was just like one in his aunt's store from when he was a child. And he wanted to buy it. He bought it. And when he bought it, it was supposed to be working. Well, when he got it, it didn't work. So he took it to Rick's Restoration to have it looked at. They said it was something that they would like to actually put on the show. He said, well, if I'm going to have it done, I'd like to actually have the proceeds donated to the disabled vets of Nevada. And he is actually the
president
of the chapter there. So they actually put him on the show on American Restoration. We did a show last night, an actual live viewing of the show. Paul came up with this great idea to have the audio of the show come through when Dan's segment was on. So while we were watching, when Dan's segment came on, we had the live audio of the segment come through on the air.
Yep.
And we were able to listen to Dan's segment live on the air while we were all watching.
Yeah.
And it was just a fun show to do.
It was a fun show, and I'm so glad it worked out, because a couple of times it didn't seem like the audio when we did a test show was that great, but it turned out really nice. And I see that we have our Survivor star online, and I'm so curious to find out, before we talk Survivor, if he experienced any bad weather where he was. But let's
play his intro and get him up.
Let's get the show on the road.
out the jukebox last night. Said it played a sad song, it made him cry. Went to his truck and got a 45. Bubba shot the jukebox last night. Bubba shot the jukebox last night. Said it played a sad song, it made him cry. Went to his truck and got a 45. Well, he shot the jukebox. Stopped the with a one shot. Bubba shot the jukebox
last night.
Bubba, thank you so much for calling in tonight. How are you? And did you?
I've won too many nights in a row. I actually lost track and forgot it was Thursday. I was thinking,
How are you? And how's the weather there?
I just got done watching it before I put it on. You know, when I filmed it. So I was right there playing this Wednesday. But all right, anyway.
Did you have any effects of Sandy where you're at?
Well, it's like one day you're wearing short sleeves and shorts outside, and the very next day, you know, it was freezing cold and, you know, spitting snow. But, you know, other than just getting real cold, it wasn't nothing, you know, like other places I've experienced, no.
Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear you're all safe and didn't have any terrible effects from it. It turned really cold here, too, but we didn't have anything like the East Coast has had, so.
Yeah. So.
So what did you think about last night's episode?
Ah, man. You know, I really didn't want her to get voted out. RC, I don't know, she was one of my favorites. So, yeah, I didn't
want
her to get voted out, you know. But. You know,
and I mentioned this early on, and I'll kind of repeat myself here. In seasons past of Survivor, when the tribes were notified that the merge was taking place, most of the time it was by Jeff Probst saying, okay, you know, drop your buffs, or the teams are merging or the tribes are merging. Sometimes it was by tree mail, but, in you know, whichever way that they were notified, usually it involved one, if not both, tribes trekking through the jungle and brush to make it to the new beach or wherever they were going to be relocated to join the tribes into one. And last night, a boat pulled up to their beach, notified them that the merge was about to take place. They had 10 minutes to grab their belongings, whatever they wanted to bring along. And they were taken by boat to their new location. And I'm sitting here thinking, you know, I wonder what past alumni are thinking when they see all these people get a boat ride to their new location, when they had to walk miles through the jungle and get eaten by bugs and slapped in the face by trees and, you know, walk till nighttime, you know, to get to their new location, or maybe paddle for miles in a little bitty tiny rickety boat, you know, or however they had to make it to their new location. This time they were escorted in a pretty nice boat, and nobody had to paddle. You know, they were escorted in a nice boat to their new location. What did you think about that?
Well, you know, for some time they've done that. They just hadn't shown it on television. A lot of times they actually make it look like they've walked miles and miles, but what it is, they'll film them, they'll have the chopper come out, they'll say, okay, the helicopter's coming out, and a lot of times they'll have you come out just so they can get a scene with the helicopter, and then you can go back under the shade because somebody wants to stay out in the sun. But when you're going to tribal, they'll say, okay, the chopper's here, so they'll have you walk, you know, down the beach and stuff like that, and they'll get all that on film. And then a lot of times they'll load you up in a truck, take you to tribal council, drop you off, and show you a big walking in. And they'll just take skits and put things together. They've done that in the past, not showed it on television. Our situation, we had to walk down the beach, and I mean walk, get a lot of film, then walk all the way back to the very camp we started from so they can get film, and then we hopped in a boat so they could take us to the island where tribal council was. So,
wow.
But they didn't show that. Yeah, they didn't show that. There's little things like that, you know. But the fact of it is, what made me mad was, why do we have to walk all this distance and come right back where we are just to hop in a boat? But, you know, so, but yeah, different seasons have to do different things, and some of them did have to hike a distance. But, yeah.
And did you also notice all the pre-cut bamboo waiting for them to make their shelter?
Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. They've had that, you know, you know, that, the rice, there's a lot of things, the knee brace, the towels, you know, it's, I don't know, but, you know, you have Carter who will complain about, you know, not having rice, you know, is, you know, I just like to see, you know, my season where you got a pot and a machete and that's all you had. You're on your own.
Wow.
So,
somebody
you know,
in our chat room put, this is not your father's survivor anymore. And I thought that was such a true statement. You know, they've changed
yeah.
quite a bit.
Oh, yeah, they've changed a lot. You know, so. But, so, last night of all the plays that was being made in the game and stuff like that, what was it? Did you think there was any bold move made or any jump of the gun or anything like that? Did anything stand out to you?
There was one thing that I thought was sort of funny that happened last night when Lisa was trying to do something just out of the kindness of her heart and happened to find Malcolm's hidden immunity idol. And he said he thought, you know, he had an hour to sort of sit and chill with the everyone and, you know, have a little wine and break a little bread with everyone before he had to worry about it. And Lisa, being, you know, the motherly kind, wanting to take care of everyone, she was worried about everyone's wet clothes. So she went and grabbed everyone's bags and started hanging up everyone's wet clothes so they could dry so people didn't have to sleep in their wet clothes. Well, as she was doing so, she was pulling out Malcolm's wet clothes out of his bag and happened to run across his hidden immunity idol. Well, she didn't say anything to anyone. Malcolm realized what had happened. He eventually got her by herself and got her down near the beach. And he didn't even say anything to her. He just looked at her. And she looked at him and she said, "I didn't mean to. Honest, I didn't mean to." And he knew right away. She knew. And so he told her that Denise was the only other person that knew. So it was the three of them till the end. So he now has a new alliance of Malcolm, Denise, and Lisa. So the final three now. So
yeah,
we'll
Lisa,
see how that goes.
Lisa's, there's a lot going on with Lisa, of course, that you know, you're not seeing on you know, television and everything. I think she's playing the game brilliantly. She
I
is. She's really got in there where she needs to be, and people are clueless with the gameplay she's playing. She is playing brilliantly. And, you know, when the game's over and a lot of stuff comes out, people's just going to think, my gosh, you know, it's just, but she's playing brilliantly. I mean, she's top notch. You know, people don't even consider her a threat. They don't even realize how strong she is in this game, socially and politically. You know,
would I be guessing correct if I guessed that she was in the alliance that you're talking about?
Yes.
Okay, so I got one in there.
Right. Yes, she is in that secret alliance, and she is a. she brings a lot to the table. She is definitely one of those people that when you're in that alliance, pursues her as that mother figure. Everybody's talking to her. She can keep a secret, but she also knows how to use information to her benefit. So,
you know, Bubba, you talked about knowing how people trust Southerners, if you will. I think the same could be true trusting a motherly, God-fearing Christian woman.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Matter of fact, Chris Doherty said his strategy coming into our game before the game even started was to find such a person. Also, Colby Donaldson, you know, about Tina. You know, I mean, that is a very, very good observation because it's so true.
Well, yeah, you know that if they have those morals and those beliefs within their heart, they're going to be somebody that you can probably put your trust in.
Right.
You know, if they have those morals in their heart.
You know, and a lot of times, I mean, you gotta watch. You gotta watch these people. If they're coming up and telling you, you know, I'm a mother figure, you can trust me. I wouldn't trust them as far as like a troll. But you take Lisa and the way she's playing the game, I mean, just the way she handles herself, just the way she talks to people, just the way she shows respect, just the way she, you know, her tolerance with some of the people in the group. You know, some of the people group just want to blow up on these people, but they see how that she able to keep a smile on her face and talk. You know, it's just...
It's that old thing, actions speak louder than words.
Absolutely, and it's working for her. My thing I thought was a little bit jumping the gun in the game last night was Jeff.
Well, he got a lot of airtime, didn't he?
Yeah, and jumping the gun and wanting to shoot Penner out when he could have stayed in his four-man alliance and brought, you know, RC and Scoop in. You know,
he just seems so hung up. It keeps coming back. There's a period of time where it seems like he's not so focused on not having a veteran win. But then revisiting it over and over again.
Well, here's my thing. Did his goal change in this game? I mean, let's get real. Did he put in his application and say, hey, I want to play Survivor because I don't want anybody from a past Survivor to win? Did he go in his interviews and say, hey, I want to play this game because I don't want a past Survivor to win? No, he came in, and evidently he wanted either, you know, to win $1 million, or he wanted the title Sole Survivor. Either or. You know, 3 days makes a huge difference in this game. If you got in that six-man alliance, it's going to take you further in the game. Then maybe politically you can get the other guys voted out. If he's in an alliance with these guys, and they're wanting to get the older guys out or whatnot, and you got a six-man alliance, and they're the two. You got four numbers in your favor. Is it a lack of self-confidence? I wouldn't think, in being a Major League Baseball player, I wouldn't think that would be it.
Do you
a lot
think
of things going on that we're not seeing. It's just I don't understand. Yeah?
Yeah, there must be a lot going on, because when Cherry asked me before you came on, when we started the show, she just kind of said, well, what did I think about last night? And I said, one word, confused. There's so much going on back and forth with different people and strategizing and all that. It just, I could not wrap my head around all the variables that seem to be popping up. But let's point out something that you brought up in previous shows. Do you think Jeff is saying these things and targeting like a Penner or a veteran to put a target on somebody else's back, but that's really, he doesn't really feel that way? Or do we?
No,
can
I
we
think
even
he must be sincere, because if you sit down and think, they already had a four-man alliance. I mean, yeah, he wanted to get Penner out, but they already had a four-man alliance. If they just took on RC and Scoop, he would have went further in the game. He could have convinced those four to get out Scoop, Well, once Scoop's out, RC would play anything to stay in the game. Okay, because she would be, you know, odd man out. She's not a part of that original alliance. And
sure.
Jeff went to her and said, hey, look, we want to take Pinder out because we don't want, you know, he's been here twice. We don't want him winning. She's going to vote just for the mere fact it's not her. So now you got Scoop. Now you got Pinter out. Why he didn't play it that way? I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of things. Again, you know, not to sound like I'm saying, not to sound like I'm waffling here. It's just a lot of things happen that you don't see on camera. But based on what I've seen on camera, he should have took the alliance and brought in Scoop and RC. Got rid of Scoop. Pinter would have been for it. Got rid of Scoop. RC would have done anything they want. Get rid of Pinter. And boom, he's beat both of them. To me, that would have been the easy way to do it. Why? I don't know how he's done it, but we'll see.
Yeah, I don't know if I. You asked a question about big moves. I really. And part of it has to do with me not, you know, being a little confused as to who was aligning with whom. But I really didn't feel like I saw any big moves that I really detected. There may have been a big move, but it just it escaped me in what I saw. I did note that near the beginning of the show where Scoopin said, you know, this was a monumental or historic day for him because it was the day that he had fallen into the fire and in his season, 24 seasons prior. And then, so they said, stay away from fire, Scoop, you know, and then they started, then they started showing a couple of conversations out in the water. And then there was this underwater shot. And I don't know if you saw it, but you see this real long, jellyfish type of animal,
right.
You know, that was about, looked like it was about 15 feet long. I thought, why are they showing us that? Is Scoop about ready to get stung?
Yeah.
But,
I thought it was also kind of funny that they called Scoop and RC free agents, you know, using sort of a baseball term, you know, with Jeff Kent being on the show, but they were talking about them being free agents on the show because they weren't sure, you know, whether they were going to, you know, stick with their tribe or switch, you know, and move over to the other tribe. And it just seemed like that was such a different term to use, I guess, using it because of Jeff Kent. But nobody seemed to notice who he was. However, Penner does know who Lisa is, and he talked to her out in the ocean about it, and he told her that he would keep her secret and would not, you know, out her to anyone.
I feel cheated that we didn't get to see how he happened to know, whether he just recognized or if somebody, you know, Scoopin' said something or...
No, he just recognized her.
I think Scoop, he just recognized her.
And this is not just anything I've seen in the game, it's just me knowing Scoop personally. Scoop would have not said nothing about that. And if he did say something, he would have told me he would have said something. But no, I think he just recognized, because especially when Pinter said he's asked, and this is what I thought was unique, he asked if anybody had brought it up, and she played it off as no. She didn't bring up Scoop knew, or if she did, I missed it. But he laughed and said, I guess they're all too young. So that told me that he recognized from her age, but I can't remember if she played it off that nobody's recognized her, but I don't think she mentioned Scooping.
Yeah, I mean, he's an older, Penner's, you know, relatively older than a lot of the people there, and plus he has been an actor, so, you know, he's been on TV. Yeah.
Yeah, so, Doug just put it in our chat room that Penner is in the acting industry, just like Lisa was at one time. So, you know, I'm sure that he just recognized her and wanted to get her off to, you know, her, the side by herself and let her know that he realized who she was, noticing that nobody else has brought up the subject.
Yep.
And mentioned it to her and see what her reaction was. And her reaction was that she really didn't want the subject brought up, you know, or she didn't want to be outed to anyone. And so he said, I will keep your secret. I won't out you to anyone, and it'll just be between us. And so that was pretty cool to see that only one other person out of the whole Survivor gang there recognized her, which, you know, she seems like such a recognizable character to me. But
me too.
Well, you're trying to get in at work.
You talked about how great of a game Lisa's playing, and I agree with you. Cherry already did as well. But so she now has this little secret that she's, you know, shared with Penner. We know that that's probably going to endear her to him, or him to her, both. And she's got this little secret with Malcolm, you know, where she's going to keep that secret. You know, when people have entrusted things like that to you, that is a stronger bond. Is that true?
Yeah, that's very true. Lisa's got a strong bond with a few people. And like I say, they're not getting really, it's really not getting played up, but I'm not saying CBS is, deliberately not showing it.
Manipulating.
She's playing a very strategic game that I think some of the producers are not catching on to.
I want to also, because it really irritates me, and I know this is kind of the game that Pete is playing, but when he makes a comment that Scoopin doesn't have a brain of his own, that he just does everything that RC says, just I feel like slapping him for, you know, those kind of comments. I don't know.
Those kind of comments, Sylvester Stallone said it best when they asked him about playing Rocky and playing a dumb character. You know, and Sylvester Stallone said, you know, it takes a very smart man to play stupid. I think that is gold, because it's true. I mean, you know, people just don't, there's an underline to this game that when the game's over, I really think that people are going to go back and watch this season again to see if they can catch some of that undertone that's going on. You know, and it's like we're watching and we say, okay, we know these two are friends on the show, and then they vote together or whatnot. We don't know if they're really an alliance or whatnot. And sometimes you see them talking to these other people and they're talking about this other person might be good to get out and this person consider and stuff like that. And there's that, you know, that undertone of, you know, there's some kind of wishy-washy people that's friendly in there. But I'm just telling you, there's a hardcore alliance in here that, you know, I know for a fact there's a two personal lives that the producers don't even know about. I said, well, they do now. They didn't when they was filming. A two personal lives that they've made a deal to go to the end, and everybody else other than them two people are clueless right now. You know, so it's hard to talk about this, not come out and say things, but
I hear you're struggling.
There's an undertone in this game, man, that's going on that will drive you nuts, you know.
Couldn't it work to Scoopin's advantage for Pete to think that he's dumb, though?
Absolutely. If someone thinks they're smarter than you, they start doing things like being passive-aggressive. And they get tired of dealing with you, so they'll make passive aggressive statements, and then they're basically kind of telling you what how they feel. They're more open, they're more vulnerable, they're more willing to talk to other people. So, yeah, Scoop's playing a good game. If he has him buffaloed into thinking that he was doing everything RC says, yeah, he's playing a good game.
I think so. I think it's probably going to play into his advantage that Pete feels that way about him, and Pete will make mistakes around Scoopin because he thinks that, you know, Scoopin doesn't have a brain when Scoopin's playing Survivor. And
oh yeah.
You know, Pete will make mistakes because he doesn't think that Scoopin has a brain.
Right.
So, let him think that.
Yeah. Now, what did you guys think of that immunity challenge? I really, when they set it up and they talked about, you know, 25% of your body weight. So basically, if you weigh 200 pounds, there's 50 pounds. In that bucket. But I really, you know, I've never tried anything like that, but when they set it up, I really didn't see people dropping out that quickly. I didn't think it was going to be that hard, but obviously it really was.
Well, was it that hard, or was people just dropping out because they felt safe?
Well, there's always that possibility.
You know, because in my game, you know, I felt, when I was with my original tribe, I felt safe. And,
right.
I, you know, when we had that one challenge to see who went to the girls' tribe or whatnot, I didn't really, you know, I should have wanted to go over to the girls' tribe or whatnot, but I really didn't think much of it or whatnot. So I wasn't trying hard in those challenges, you know, so.
I mean, part of it had to do, too, with sweating, and there was no way to grip those metal bars to hold on to with that much weight when your hands are sweating.
Well, yeah, and I don't know, having never tried it, what muscles are you using? You know, you saw at one point they had a shot of Artis when he then, you know, reeled it back in and he kissed both of his biceps. Did you see him do that?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
your hands, your biceps, all that is what you're working. And my thing that I would do is, if I'm playing that challenge, I'm thinking, okay, it's dead even for everybody because they did it percentage-wise.
Right.
You know, so I would have held on and I would have kept that in my head, and I would have went to a place in my head other than holding that, because you're going to make that bucket, if you're sitting there thinking about that bucket, you're going to make that bucket heavier than what it is. So I would have just thought about something else. But
now, initially, I thought, okay, they're not, because of the weight, they're not going to be able to take a hand off and dry it. But then we saw that shot of Penner actually doing that, taking his hand away, his right hand away. It looked like he did try to rub that sweat off, Jerry.
Right. You know, it depends on whether you could, you know, hold that much weight with one hand. If you wanted to, you know, take the chance on doing that, Penner took the chance, and he was able to do it. Others may not have, you know, wanted to take that chance and see if they could hold that much weight with just one hand.
Yeah,
so,
and my question is if they're doing it, you know, based upon a percentage of your weight, is it the weight before you started the game, or is it the weight you are at the time of the challenge? You know,
good point.
That, you know, that'd be my question. Because I'd say, hey,
no,
look, man, I was a real fat ass when I started this, and I want, you know, that would be my thing. Because when I started off 263, and I'd lost a lot of pounds. So,
if you were in that challenge, as soon as Jeff Probst says 25%, your hand would have shot up and asked him, is it how much I weigh now?
Yes, exactly. Exactly, Brian. I said, hey, hold up here. Time out.
Reset. No, and I also wonder if in that heat, did what kind of metal that was. Do you think that that metal rod started heating up too? I mean, I don't know.
Well, you know, that could have been when they first grabbed a hold of it or whatnot. You know, I can't think what it was. We was doing one challenge, and I got Jeff tickled because I messed up or something like that, and I told him do over. But, you know, you're going to have things happen. As far as the rod heating up, it could have been when it first started. But I say once your hands are on that metal rod and you're holding it, it's going to get body temperature anyway, so.
So, what do you think about the tribal, when they went to tribal? How did Penner know to play his immunity idol?
I think he's got a vibe. I think he kind of knows. Someone could have tipped him off. But, you know, you walk up on two people, and there's a good 20 seconds just dead silent. And everyone says, yeah, we're just kind of talking about what's going on. My suspicions would be up. If you're walking up and they said, hey, I'm motion for you to come over, that would be more inviting. But when you walk
you
up,
know,
there's about 20 seconds of just dead silence. Yeah, and this guy's you're supposed to be tight with, you know. So.
You know, they did some good editing because you see in every tribal when Jeff asks, you know, if you've got one, this would be the time to play it. And all the people sitting around look, you know, back and forth around, you know, the fellow tribe members. And there was a little bit of looking around. And I was really starting to think he's not going to play it, you know. So it was pretty good editing because all of a sudden he played it. But here's the part that adds to the paranoia. During the immunity challenge, what the hell is wrong with Jeff Probst when Penner drops out and he makes a comment?
Dude, I'm telling you, they've tried to persuade the game since day one, and now the only difference is they're doing it in front of everybody.
Just piss me off.
Hey, you think it pisses you off as a fan? Try playing the game and that crap going on.
I know. That's just,
you know. And when you're out of the game, what are you going to do? Hold a grudge against Jeff Probst? You know, because everybody playing the game, you know, oh, they want to take a chance or whatnot. You know, I like Jeff, get along with Jeff or something like that. Things happen. I don't care who knows. Don't care who I tell, you know. But I'm not trying to get on, I'm not trying to get back on the show like everybody else, though.
Yeah.
It seems like there's just more and more manipulation in these reality shows all the time, though. We see it each and every year in Big Brother, in Survivor. It just seems like there is more and more manipulation behind the scenes, and we're seeing it more and more in Survivor now than we ever have on TV. Sure it's been going on.
Yeah, good point.
Behind the scenes, we're just seeing it more on TV now than we have in years past.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm trying to think. Season one, who that girl was that complained about it?
Susan?
Oh. It wasn't Susan Hawk. I forget, one of the ladies complained about it. I have to go look that up. Bill, Rich Patch even has a story about the taxes. The very first show, if you remember correctly, they had $1 million already there. They already knew who the winner was and everything else. Well, what was happening and what was going on, some of the producers were slipping Snicker bars. Some of their players.
Oh, my goodness.
Richard Hatch kind of knew about it. So one day he was acting like he was asleep, and they slipped a Snicker bar to one of them. So he jumps up and says, "Hey, hey," and he's going to blow it out of the water. You know, he's going to blow everything up. And they're trying to calm him down. He don't want to calm down. He's trying to play this game. He's trying to play fair. Just a whole part of his strategy was keeping them fed. Well, heck, far if they're getting Snicker bars, so I that takes away from his strategy, it's taking away from his game. So he throws up this thing, and they try to make a deal, blah, blah, blah. They said that they'd make it better, that that would stop and all this stuff. And one of the things was, you know, he'd get his money, he wouldn't have to worry about the taxes and stuff like that. And that's how that whole Big Bird came about. And when it came down, he didn't pay his taxes. Richard Hatch said that, you know, he was told that they were going to pay his taxes. And that was the story, why they were going to pay his taxes, because he was going to blow the whole thing out of the water. But, so evidently it's been since season one they've been doing stuff like that. But yeah. Nobody got slurred food our season. That was a big, huge no-no. I mean, I was begging Peter, one of the film guys, begging him. I said, man, nobody don't know. Come on. He wouldn't do it. And I kept coming up to him, and he wouldn't do it. I said, man, look, just do me this one. And he just said, no. I said, come on. I said, I know you can do this because it ain't breaking no rule. He said, what? I said, I want you to go eat a big, large pepperoni pizza and drink a pitcher of beer and come back and just burp in my face.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, that's a good one.
But, oh, dear.
I wasn't ready for that one.
Bubba, I'm glad you said you just burp in my face as opposed to throw it up and I'll eat it, you know, something like that. But
No.
Oh,
just,
Paul.
Just burp in my face. Just smell, you know.
I eat some pretty nasty stuff in Survivor, so I shouldn't have gone to that place in my head. But I want to ask either one of you two to attempt to pronounce the name of this new tribe, which, again, none of us got to see how they came about naming it, who named it, or whatever. But it's Dangryne. What the hell does it mean? How do you pronounce it?
Paul, no, I mean, that's one area I'm not good at is names. I mean, for the longest time, I thought that one tribe was named Poontang. So, I mean, I can't even, you know, I can't remember names. Don't repeat it, you know. Just try to learn the cast and just go with it. Yeah.
Bubba, have you ever watched Amazing Race in all the difficult countries and towns that they have to name? I have to name in there. We have Louis Stervato that does our Amazing Race show, and he's, oh my God, you'd have a terrible time with that. All these Dhaka, Bangladesh. I mean, it's really hilarious.
Dangryne.
Thanks, dog. Good for him. In other words, darn, R-A-I-N, for rain. Dang, D-A-N-G, and rain with a Y in it. That makes total sense to me.
Dang rain.
Yeah. All right.
That's great. Dog has it. All right. We need to give dog the prize of the night. Dang rain.
Man.
Yeah. Here's what we'll give for him because it's easy to play it. Okay, finally.
Heck, when you're playing a game, a lot of times people say, what's the name of our tribe again? You know, you go for these interviews, and I'm saying, I can't remember his name, that Roy guy. I can't remember because it's like, you know, you're there at the thing and, you know, you're 20 minutes in and they're wanting to do interviews and you can't remember everybody's name.
Yeah, they've had some incredible tribe names on Survivor.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't understand. And I didn't make this part of my game to do it. When you name a new tribe, why is it always something like some crazy name? You know, why don't they have something like Joe's Bar and Grill? You know? Big Ed Subs. You know?
Why do they have to have some wild name? Probably one of the best ones they've had. You know, they always try to make it something. You know, the one who was the one guy that said it was
made
it
up?
Meant something in the local language, and it totally he just totally made it up. What season was that?
Was that Boston Rob that made it up?
Was that Coach?
I think it was.
Okay, I was thinking it may have been Coach.
I think it was Boston Rob, and they had his little confessional, you know, thing, and he said, "I just totally made it up. I told him it was part of the language, but I just totally made it up." But,
right, right. Yeah,
I think that. Yeah, I think you're right.
Now we've talked about how camera crews gather around when there's good conversations. How do they get, is it like a large boat when these people are talking out in the shallow waters? I mean, is it the boat have to be big enough for a cameraman and a sound man? And what?
Well, some of your cameras have a mic on it. Sometimes you got guys going out with a boom, stuff like that. Like a lot of times people go out and they're fishing or whatnot, they'll have cameras out there, and the cameras, a lot of them are waterproof, so that's how they get that.
And then there was another moment last night on the episode, I always am thinking now because of what you shared about the cameraman, but I think it may have been in the dark or something. I'm not sure it was Penner or Scoopin or one of the vets that was at night and there was lights on him and he was talking relatively loud. If I was in the hut and I glanced over and here's this big production light and, you know, I'm just wondering how far away in a moment like that, especially when it's at night and, you know, there's not a lot of activity, people are, you know, in a hut sleeping. And do they take a person when they want to do a nighttime confessional? Do they take them further away than normal to film that?
Okay, so I had to leave there. I was getting me a drink. Now, what they do is they'll come up and they'll pick you out. You know, they'll come up and say, "Hey, Paul, we need to get an interview." And they'll take you way away from everybody. And all day long, they're just picking people doing that. So
okay. They
do that. So it's like you just get used to it.
Oh,
that
okay.
way, if they know something's going down, they won't say, "Well, hey, something's going down between such and such and such and such," because that's who they're asking out.
Because it's just one person off. Okay.
Yeah,
it makes sense. But I also was thinking how loud he was talking. So, you know, in the quiet of the night, you know, sound can carry quite a ways. And I was just thinking, boy, as loud
yeah,
as he's talking.
If you're on the beach, those waves hitting and stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It'll muffle
yeah,
it
yeah.
out.
Yeah, you ain't you.
Do people ever try to sneak up on the individual interviews or confessionals or whatever you call them?
You can't.
They
have people watching the people back at camp.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, that's one thing. You look at and you're watching, you think they're out there alone or whatnot. Dude, we do some of them challenges. That's about the first challenge. How about just 200-300 people there watching? Well, we had went, I don't know if I've told you about this, we went to the first challenge. And it was, they was getting it, you know, all set up, going, telling us how to do it and stuff like that. We were standing around. Mark Burnett was talking to his girlfriend. Rory was really into talking to her, and Scout was really into talking to her and stuff. And I went up and I was looking at her. And man, she looked familiar. And I couldn't put my finger on it. I said, ma'am, I said, I know this is going to sound weird. I said, I've never met you before in my life. I said, man, you really look familiar. And she laughed. And Rory said, Lola, don't you know who this is? I said, no. I said, I know I've seen her before. And she smiled real big, said her name. And she was a star of Touched by an Angel. And Mark Burnett was dating her. She said, oh, my name is such and such, and I'm the star of Touched by an Angel. I said, oh, okay, that's where I've seen you. She said, oh, you watch the show? I said, oh, no. I said, my wife and my mother love it. I said, I really don't care much for it. I must have seen you when I was walking through the room or something. Mark Burnett, Mark Burnett just died laughing. He goes, well, now you see why he's on the show.
They know you're honest.
That's right. Yeah, I don't sugarcoat it. Yeah.
I had a
lady who was a friend of a friend call me asking me, you know, about the interviewing process and the applications and stuff. You know, and I have people ask me that stuff all the time.
Sure.
So, you know, I've learned towards I'm just, it's like, look, I can't tell you exactly what to look. I can't give you a magic thing to say that's going to get you on the show. I can just say what you're looking for. So I go in that mold of how I was when I was on the show. I've been married now for 12 years, and living with my wife, she has toned it down a lot. People think I'm blunt now. They had no clue, you know, when I was back on the show how blunt I was. And I was talking to her. I said they would answer this question, and this is how I answered it. And needless to say, I don't think she's going to call back because if I answered the way I was just blunt, you know. And that's a lot what they're looking for the show and stuff. But, you know, whether I'm being blunt with someone about what you need to do to be on the show, or whether I'm just being blunt saying I really didn't like their show. Well, I mean, there's nothing against her. Didn't really care much for the show, you know. But being blunt, it'll definitely help you some because everybody thinks that everybody knows what you're thinking. But on the other hand, a lot of people, they don't want to be told the truth, you know.
Well, I'd much rather be told the truth than to have somebody sugarcoat it to my face and then find out in a roundabout way that your feelings are different, you know?
Right.
So even though it may sting a little at first, I'd much rather have somebody tell me the truth.
Yes.
That's just how I am. I don't like to find out in a roundabout way that, you know, you told me sugar-coated, you know, oh, it was great, you know, and then you told somebody else something totally different. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, that, to me, stings even worse.
Yeah.
So I'd rather hear the truth straight from a person's mouth and deal with it head on.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's just how I am. Going back to how Boston Rob changed the name of the merged tribe. Apparently, it was his wife's stuffed animal that was named Merlonio. Dog and Jody did some research in the chat room, and it was a stuffed animal of his wife Amber's. And he told them that it was something in the local tribe language that meant something. And he actually got the tribe name named after his wife's stuffed animal.
Man. Now, who was it? Who was the names of those people in the chat room that found that information?
Jody and KF and Dog.
Okay, awesome. I just wanted you to repeat those names because if they went to that much trouble to find it, I just wanted to give them props again. You know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah, but they actually do some research in there and went and found all the information, and they just said thank you very much. So.
Oh, good deal, good deal. So.
I want to ask about your feelings, and maybe it was just because he was on the episode a lot last night, but would you consider that Jeff is now one of the leaders out there, or is he just, did he just get a lot of airtime?
I wouldn't.
I wouldn't
call him a shot caller. I mean, he may call a few shots, but he's not going to last long calling shots because the shots he called last night, unless there's something I'm not seeing, and the reason I keep repeating that, not seen off camera that we haven't seen, because I feel victim to that. But, you know, it's, unless something's not seen, I don't think he made a wise choice trying to get Penner out. I mean, it's just,
well,
and we got a guarantee
for next week. We got a peek of next week where Penner really
knows
he's
on his own.
A hard fall.
Yeah, but it just seems like in every conversation of strategy and who they should vote off, and you know, Carter just sits there quietly, not saying anything. But it just seemed Jeff was in every one of those conversations, and I'm wondering if it's going to come back to bite him in the butt. You know what I mean? I mean, he even said when at Tribal, it was another thing that might have prompted Tanner to use the idol. When Jeff Probst asked Jeff Kent, do you think that there could be a blind side? And Jeff Kent goes, yeah, it's quite likely.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Okay.
And, you know, and I want to definitely put this out there because I haven't busted on Jeff. I just don't understand why he didn't stay with the original four, bring in RC and Michael and go with that, because I believe that would have been the smarter way to play. Now, within saying that, and questioning his gameplay in that, I'm not questioning his intelligence, I'm just questioning his gameplay, okay? Within questioning his gameplay, one thing I will say that he has done excellent at, and it is imperative that you do it in this game, is have a working relationship with everybody. You don't have to be best friends. You don't have to be sitting around telling each other jokes, but to have some type of relationship with each person, know something about each person. If somebody's married or if someone has children, learn the name of their spouse. Learn the name of their children. And when you talk to them, use those names.
Let me tell you, a little bit of Barbara will
take a ton of help off.
I'm so glad you brought that up as being valuable, because, Cherry, we watched that on Big Brother this past season, watching Dan Geesling.
Oh, so much. I mean, that goes so far.
It does.
And
And when you said that, I got to thinking about, you know, Lisa and Ben are out in the water and talking about, you know, kids and I don't know. And Scoots is talking about kids. Yeah, those things, when you show that interest in people and actually, like you said, even use their names, you know, you actually listen to me and you also remember the names of my kids or whatever. Yep.
And actually, I mean, people love to hear their own name. If they just meet somebody and somebody talks to them and uses their name, they notice that. But as a parent, what really blows me away, if you remember the name of my children, I have a friend, Chris Page, and me and him's very close. He had came to a benefit we do in Louisville, Kentucky, for Cozair Children's Hospital. First time I ever met him, he came up, and he said, "Hey, Bubba, I'm a big fan." And I said, "Well, thank you." And I just kind of put it in the back of my head, because you hear it all the time, you know, and I'm just thinking, well, you know, if, you know, player X here from season 21 or something was standing here, they may say the same thing to them. You don't know. But when he said that, you know, I said, okay. And then we started talking. He said, "So where's your wife Jennifer at? Didn't she come with you?" And I said, "Yes." Oh. And I thought, "Oh, well, he wears my wife." He goes, "And your family came with you too, right?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Okay, let me get this straight. Aaron, Eric, Trevor, and Gabriel." And I said, "Yes." And then he remembered something in the show, and then I thought, "Hello." And my mom and dad walk up and goes, "Oh, this must be Lonnie and Granny Lou," you know.
Oh, God.
This guy's done his homework, or he's a stalker, you know what I mean? But then we started talking. He's a super nice guy, and he was. He was a fan of mine. Now he's a friend. And, you know, that blows you away that somebody, you know, takes in that information. But, you know, there's a lot of people. I go to a lot of these benefits and these charities and stuff, and they say, you know, a lot of the fans come and blah, blah, blah. Man, I've been to these fans. They're not fans, they're friends. You know, like Chris and Mark and Cindy and, you know, all these, you know, Katie and all these friends you meet, you know, and it's just like, man, goodness, you know, it's like now you go to these, you help out some children, and you have a family reunion while you're there, you know. But if you remember a person's name, and Scoop is very good at that, Scoop is very good at that, remember names. Jeff has a working relationship, so I think he's playing that smart. So, because I don't think he didn't stick with that, you know, original lines and bringing in RC and Michael. I didn't agree with that gameplay, but the gameplay he's playing about having a relationship with everybody, I think is going awesome. I think he's doing that great. I think Scoop's doing that great. I think Lisa's doing that great. As a matter of fact, I think those are the three that I think's doing it best when it comes to having a relationship with everybody. Peter will do it, but he has a way of ticking people off. But anyway.
We also saw Denise sort of questioning where her alliance is going to fall, whether she's going to stay with her tribe, but she said, "I would also like to go back to my original alliance with Malcolm."
Right.
And so we're going to eventually see where her loyalty is going to fall, whether she's going to remain with, you know, the tribe that she wound up on, or whether she's going to go back and go to her original alliance with Malcolm and hang tough with him, which I think, I don't know, my gut tells me that somehow she will go back with Malcolm. I don't know how that might be, but I just feel like her and Malcolm are going to wind up back together.
What she needs to do is get an alliance and stick with it. I mean,
and
in our season, Rory wanted to vote out Sarge. Sarge wanted to vote out Rory. We had to fight this dragon every day. I mean, every day. No, Rory, we're not voting out Sarge. Sarge makes a lot of people mad. Does he make you mad? Yes, he makes you mad, because that's why you're wanting to vote him out. Well, he's a lightning rod. So if they're bringing him up, they're not bringing us up. Then we go to Sarge. Sarge, we know Rory's loud. We know he's a rock. But if we keep him around, they're wanting to vote him out and not vote you out. But here's the thing. Even if you're in an alliance and you don't like somebody, okay, stay true to that alliance. Because we had five in our alliance. If all four people would have agreed, let's get rid of Rory, and everybody agreed that that would be the best thing to do, and you cut him loose and you bring somebody else in. All right, now that alliance has got a crack in it.
Right.
I don't care if everybody did agree on it. I don't care if everybody was 100% on it. What's going to happen is later in the game, we're going to think, well, you know what? They started not liking Rory, and they voted him out. What, they don't start not liking me? But if you had kept Rory in the game, no matter what, they would have had that security. Look, man, if they ain't voting Rory out as much as he's goofed off, I know I'm safe. And that's what keeps people loyal. Don't start trying to shuffle things around. Make an alliance and stick to it.
Yeah, I see that, but I also see a very strong and special bond with Malcolm and Denise for what they went through in those first, you know, couple of weeks. I felt so happy. I was never happier than when Denise won that immunity necklace. I mean, she she has been, you know, been to every single tribal. I mean, She wasn't vulnerable, you know, to getting voted out because she had it, but she's been to every single one, and it's just finally something good happened for her, you know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. But even though if they do have a special bond, don't think they can't write each other's name down. Before the game started, me and Scout, we never said a word, but she had, you know, she's very into Native American and, you know, all that stuff. And she had a very special necklace she was wearing. And it fell off her neck and was about to go in the water. And I happened to grab it right before it went off the boat.
Mm.
And, man, she, I mean, that right there, boom. I get there, and I just saw how happy she was. Well, I got my mind. I hope I'm in on her tribe, because there's an automatic alliance. Well, maybe if we started the game, but we were on two different tribes, and I went over there. She'd tell me to death, she loved me to death, but she had to stick with her alliance, and she wasn't
Fluke,
you know. And I thought, well, that's how you win the game, you know.
So Dog says that Pinner next week goes Troyzan bat crazy.
I appreciate that. Bubba, do you know what that means? Did you watch last year? You know how Troy's in?
I didn't watch anything from last year or anything, but what it's getting to is if somebody knows they're on their way out and they're on borrowed time, they're going to put on the biggest dog and pony show as they possibly can, thinking that's going to give them airtime and people are going to remember them longer and stuff like that. You know, I've been off the show for a while. If you want people to remember you,
good point.
Go out to these benefits and help kids and stuff. You know, Vanuatu is probably, and ask Big Mike or any of them, you go to a benefit, 9 times out of 10, there's going to be more Vanuatu people there than anybody. Because we love helping kids. I mean, that's one thing. When they put our season together, you would have thought, you know, that was a mandate. You have to love kids, you know.
Prerequisite,
but,
yeah.
Yeah, but.
Is RC the first member of the jury?
Oh, yes. RC is the first person of the jury.
Okay.
Just said that last night.
We had that question in the chat room, and I thought I remembered them saying that she would be the first member of the jury, and I just wanted to verify.
Which, that's great. If I don't get to see her, you know, throughout the show, at least I get to see her come out, you know, for the trial counsel.
I know that Paul will certainly miss that bathing suit. I know that many of the guys will miss that bathing suit.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. I've seen more aspirin or more cotton in an aspirin bottle, but... you know, and all joking aside, you know, she is attractive later, you know, but I still think she played a good game. She didn't go out there and rely just on her looks.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I mean, she was playing the game.
And I will see if we can get her on the show as soon as possible. I know Michelle Costa roomed with her at Reality Rescue in Virginia. And as soon as she is able to join us on the show, we will try to get her to come on and talk with us on the show. As soon as, I don't know exactly what their contract entails as far as when they are allowed to come on and talk about Survivor once they're voted out. All their contracts are different as far as, you know, differing from Big Brother's contracts and that kind of thing. So I will find out when she's available to come on and talk with us. We do have some contacts to her. So as soon as she's available, we'll try to get her on and have her come on and talk with us here on this show. And that will be fun. I know she's a really sweet girl, and we do have some contacts with some other survivors as well. I know Michelle also roomed with Dawson. So hopefully we'll be able to get some of those guests on to talk with us.
I don't think I know things probably change from season to season, but what do you know about that, Bubba, as far as their availability to before the show ends? Do you know any of that inside info? Or?
You know, they have, like they say, you know, you have 5 years, and everything that you do has to be passed through CBS. Big scare tactic, okay? And as the seasons went on, you've had people smarter. They'd be getting right off the show, and then they would be right into doing benefits and stuff because people's wised them up. I remember when I first got off the show, I went and had a trip to Canada. And there's a gentleman, his name's Mertz, was up there and wanted to talk to him. And I was scared to death to talk to him. CBS had me scared to death that whatever you say is going to end up in a paparazzi magazine, blah, blah, blah. And it's simply not the case. They just wanted to, you know, try to secure you where nobody, you know, where you wasn't making money, that they wouldn't get a piece of the pie or something. But, nah, if they want to, it's like usually they say 5 years or a year or whatnot, but usually if you go out and do it, you know, I mean, really, you know, you got $1 billion CBS going to sue blue collar worker because he done an interview on the radio. Really? You know?
That you're not getting paid for?
Exactly. You know? Thank goodness. So,
yeah.
Yeah, we know who Mertz Jaffer is.
He came on and was on our show just a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're friends with Mertz. He's a great guy. He has a great show. And
Mertz is great.
Yeah, he's a wonderful guy.
One of the nicest guys you'll ever meet.
Absolutely. Absolutely. He's a really nice guy. He's always been very, very friendly and treats all the reality people very well. He's very respectful. I wouldn't have a bad word in the world to say about Mertz. So, one of the shows that I have great respect for.
Yeah. Well, another great, insightful Survivor show, Bubba. Always, you always bring new information to me and new insight. It helps me to look at Survivor in a whole different way. I appreciate that. That
aspect. Hey, it's always great to talk to y'all. You know, you bring up things like, you know, that I didn't catch, like we talked about the knee brace, and you know, y'all talked about the crutch that I missed. So, you know, so.
It is so much fun to talk to you, Bubba. And, Paul, I actually put that, I think that was the last, and I know you don't read the promos that I put out, but that was the last sentence that I put in the promo this week, was that it will have, after talking, listening to Bubba, it will have you watching Survivor in a whole different way.
Yeah.
And you just quoted me.
Yep.
And you didn't even know it.
I didn't even know it.
So it is always fun to listen to the insight that you put in.
Look for the undertones in these shows. Yeah. Look for the undertones. Look for the people that you don't think are working together, might be working together. Just look for the undertones. It adds a whole new twist to the game.
I'm watching so much differently since we've been talking to you, Bubba. You have tweaked my interest so much. I can't even tell you. I'm watching every little move, every little twinkle that somebody, every way that people look at each other now, the way they talk to each other. I'm watching everything so intensely now.
Yeah, and, you know, definitely, it's like if you tape it, go back and watch it more than once. Because you'll catch stuff that you didn't catch the first time.
Well, I certainly appreciate you joining us and doing these shows, and you have just increased my interest and my passion for Survivor tenfold by telling me about this underlying alliance, and I've enjoyed it so much because I don't want to know, I don't want to be told, I want to discover it on my own. And I can't wait to figure it out, and I probably will go back and watch this entire season all over again once it's over so that I can see the things that I missed early on.
Yep.
Well, I do thank you for joining us tonight, Bubba. Again, it's been a great time. We thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to come on and talk about Survivor Philippines with us. We look forward to having you again next Thursday. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. I hope your family had a wonderful Halloween. And we just appreciate you so much.
Okay.
You take care and have a great weekend, hon.
All right. Y'all have a great night, and I'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thank you again.
All right. Okay.
Night, bye-bye.
Good night, hon. Bye-bye. Okay. We do have some announcements that I want to make before we go. We were talking before Bubba came on about last night's show that we did with Dan Kaminsky and the pencil machine that he will be auctioning off.
Yeah, that antique, 1951 vintage antique.
Yes. I think, Paul, can you go ahead and put that link in the chat room again? I know you have it handy. If people can go, we really want people to go to this website and enter as often as you can. I've got the links on my Facebook page, on the Rad Reality Show Facebook page, and on the Rad Reality Show group Facebook page. They're there. You can share them on your Facebook page as well. Tell your friends, tell your family, whoever wins this pencil machine, which is a very rare pencil machine, will also win lunch with Rick Dale and the crew there at American Restoration. They will also win a tour of this entire place, and it is so interesting to see all the antiques that they have there, how they restore them. Dan said that it's probably a 3 or 4 hour tour that they do, and he talks constantly about how nice these people are, how down to earth they are, and just what a wonderful place this is to visit. So you don't just win the pencil machine. If you can go out to Vegas to pick it up, you will get lunch with them. You will get to tour the actual facility. It's a wonderful thing to win. But the most important thing is you'll be helping a charity that needs help so much. This goes to disabled American veterans who need help with their wheelchairs. They need help with their medications. They need help with so many things, and they can't afford to buy them. And like Dan talked about last night, they are all verified. Before they help them, they make sure they verify that they're legit.
Right.
And this charity,
everything's above board. Yeah.
Everything is above board. Their books are wide open, so you don't have to worry about this being anything hokey or anything. Everything is above board. Books are wide open. Dan wouldn't have it any other way. So please go to www.pencilraffle.blogspot.com and buy as many tickets as you can. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell your neighbors, tell your pastor, tell anybody you can. Share the link on your Facebook page. Do whatever you can to get the word out. And I also wanted to mention that tonight I got to see Jesse on TV.
All right, before you talk about Jesse, I just wanted to on air say that this raffle goes on. I think he said they will be drawing names like
February
9th. Week or,
February 9th is the end of it. Jesse was on TV tonight on Spike TV. I think it was his first time actually being on this channel.
I get that channel. Is it going to be repeated?
I don't know. I was called just as it was coming on, or I would have called you. I was called and said, turn it on, and I flipped the channel over. And he was only on for, you know, it was a short bit. He wrestled a woman, actually. And her name is, let me think of it. I think it's D-O-B. I may have this wrong, but I think it stands for Dirty Old Broad or something like that.
I was thinking date of birth? What is that?
No, Dirty Old Broad or something like that. She is something else. And she came on first, and she had a microphone, and she was going on about Jesse and talked about him being a CBS Big Brother TMZ Hollywood wannabe and just went on and on and on. And he comes out with this older, fairly nice looking, but older woman. And, you know, they're kissing and she sort of taps him on the butt and he goes in the ring. And first the woman is sort of kicking his butt around the ring and it's, you'd almost have to see it, but the woman had gotten him sort of knocked out of the ring, and then the woman goes over and gets a hold of Jesse's girl and has a hold of her, and Jesse's girl takes a couple of swings at the galley's wrestling and misses, and it makes Jesse, you know how all this stuff is very fake and put on, so it's kind of funny. But
do you?
Jesse looks very ticked off. He goes over and grabs her, throws her down in the middle of the ring, and tackles her, and then they call it 1, 2, 3, and Jesse wins. But for most of the fight, Jesse is getting his butt kicked by a woman. So
do you know, if I search for it, what it was called? That was it, Impact Wrestling?
I believe so. Let me see if I can. I don't know if I can.
That's okay. We can talk later.
Yeah. I'll try to find it for the info for you. But it was amusing to watch, but it was great seeing Jesse on TV, and he looked great. He did win the battle, and it was just great seeing Jesse. I happen
okay.
to love
Here's
Jesse.
Here's what I found on my TV guide. It says 1 week from tonight from 7 to 9 p.m., and then the week after that from 7 to 9 p.m., so it doesn't look like it repeats. Was that the time? What time were you
yes,
alerted?
Yes, it was 7 to 9 p.m.
Our time, East, Central time. Okay,
Central
never
time.
Mind. I like I said, we could have talked about this on the phone.
Okay, and I had it wrong. It's ODB, Old Dirty Broad.
Okay.
So.
All right, the other, yeah, and I don't think it repeats, so maybe, hopefully it'll be out somewhere else to be able to watch it, because a lot of these shows, when I look, they, you know, repeat 2-3 times during the week, but it doesn't look like this one does. Don't want to forget about Chi-Town Live on Saturdays.
Chi-Town Live on Saturday. Go ahead, Paul.
No. You've got the list in front of you, I'm sure.
That
it's
is
easier
it.
For you to do it.
4:30 Eastern Time, 3:30 Central Time. And he puts on a great radio show that is at SeacoastInternationalRadio.com. You can go see, get him on your Facebook at Chi-Town Live. The link to get to him is on that page as well. When you go there, don't forget that he does have a chat room. You just have to scroll down the page just a little bit. People are there chatting in the room.
You do not have to sign up for this chat room. The chat actually gives you a funny initial name, but you can change your name to whatever you want, and it's one of these chats that, you know, you go to a lot of these places, and in order to chat, you need to sign up or log in somewhere, but it's really easy just to pop in there.
Yeah, you don't have to sign up to anything. You just go there, and you're there. You don't have to sign up and join or anything like that. You're just there. And you're in the chat room. Like Paul says, it gives you a chat name. It's
and
a bit of
funny,
hysterical.
They give you
almost like
funny,
Honey Boo Boo.
Yeah, funny default names.
And then you can change your name and put whatever chat name you want to choose.
Hoochie Mama.
Yeah.
No.
And so everybody is there chatting, and Joe does such a wonderful 3-hour show on Saturdays. Sometimes he goes over a little.
Sometimes?
But usually. But it's a great show. So on a Saturday afternoon, try to join Joe and his show on Saturdays. As always, we have our show on Sundays, The Amazing Race, Second Pit Stop with Louis Stravato. That is at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central. We plan on starting a new show on Tuesdays.
Well,
first of all, Mondays, we have Manic Monday with Michelle Costa, and I believe we're going to be having a wonderful guest coming up this Monday. I will be posting that. I have to verify it first, so I'm not going to announce it. But we're going to have a great guest, I believe, this coming Monday. So I'm hoping that Sandy isn't going to mess this up. But I think we're going to have a great guest this coming Monday. So stay tuned for my announcements on this. I'll let you know more on Sunday.
All right. And before you talk about the next one, are you sure you're going to do one on Election Day?
Stay posted.
Okay.
Stay posted. We'll see about this. Probably.
Okay.
Tuesday at, if we do, it'll be at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central as well. Then back again here on Thursday for Survivor Philippines Roundtable Show. And that pretty much takes us through the week. So we appreciate everyone that supports us here at the Rad Reality Show Network. And we love all of our Rad Reality family. We want to thank you all for being with us.
Hey, I know you're probably looking. I actually moved the one of the closer clips at the top of the list that is kind of a Thursday night one. Yeah. Do you see it?
I'm just now going to, yes, I do.
Okay.
I'm going to close the show with Ron, as I always do. And I hope that everyone who is in the path of Sandy is doing well. We want everyone to know that they are in our thoughts and prayers. I know Adam and Farah, there in Hoboken, were without power. And I know I did see him tweeting a little bit.
Somebody the other night in the chat room said that they were staying with friends or something, if I remember. But there's a lot of people out there. I mean, I looked at Staten Island, and certainly I thought about Mob Wives, but JoJo is, I mean, and oh my goodness, so many people. It's just
so many people are just, it's so devastating to see the people who have lost homes, who have lost family members. Just the devastation out there is just incredible. So we're keeping people in our thoughts and prayers. We've got so many reality people, close friends in that area up there, and my heart just breaks watching the news every night, and I watch a lot of HLN headline news, and I've been keeping track of what's going on up there, and it just tears my heart out to see all the devastation up there. I posted some things on my Facebook. Even restaurants here in the St. Louis area are having nights where, you know, all the proceeds are going to be donated to the area up there. So everybody's, you know, starting to pitch in to try to restore the shore. That's the new slogan, restore the shore. We've, you know, got to help get that done.
Let's restore power, and let's get the subways running. I mean, did you see any of the coverage of how bad the traffic is? This is an area that depends on subways and mass transit, and they were turning people away from going across some of these bridges because they said you have to have at least three people in your car.
Yeah, you have have three people in the car. I heard about one lady today who was going out and picking up people in her car just because she wanted to help, and she was picking up people that needed a ride. She said, I just want to be able to help people. And so she actually gave a ride to one of the news crew. And she said, that's how I got here, because the kindness of somebody who was just out driving around and helping people get across the bridge and driving them into New York City. And she wouldn't even take any money. She said, I'm just doing this because I want to help. And so, you know, there's some great people up there that are doing everything they can just to try to help others that, you know, don't have it as well off as they do. So we need to try to do that too. You know, hopefully you weren't affected. If you weren't affected, be gracious that you weren't. And even if you can just pitch in a couple of bucks, that will help somebody. So thank you all for being here with us and listening tonight. If you're listening by podcast, thank you so much. We appreciate your time and sharing with us. Take care, everybody. God bless. Be kind to each other. Here's Ron tonight to close our show.
I want to finish off with a song. I really felt like it was a great show, and I really do appreciate everyone that did listen and everyone who called in. Thank you. Love you guys.
It's late. We got to get on home. It's late. We've been gone too long. Too bad. We should have checked our time. Can't phone. We done spent every dime. It's late. We're about to run out of gas. It's late. We got to get home fast. Can't speak. We're in a slowdown zone. Baby, look at that clock. Why can't it be wrong? We got started just a little bit late. Hope this won't be our last day. Look up. Is that the moon we see? Can't be. Looks like the sun to me. Yeah, it's late. We've been gone too long. We got started just a little bit late. Hope this won't be our last day. Look up. Is that the moon we see? Can't be. Looks like the sun to me. It's late. We gotta get on home. It's late. We've been gone too long.
And you've listened to the Rad Reality Show. Come back Sunday, 10 p.m. Louis and the Amazing Race Talk. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everyone. And God bless.